Truly enjoyed the choir singing this morning. You know, when they sung, "There's power in the blood." I tell you, that really just got next to me. I tell you, if you didn't feel something in that song, there's something wrong with us today, because there's still power in the blood of God. There's still power today through His blood, because if there wasn't no power, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be standing behind this pulpit. But you know, I'd like to say, this is a great privilege to be in God's house, and I know that Thanksgiving is coming up. We all have a lot to be thankful about, and I'm thankful for what God has done for me. I'm thankful that, as I said in the prayer, that God has gave this church to me as a family. When I was growing up, maybe I didn't have a lot of family, but I tell you, I've got the biggest family in the world. Everybody's my brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, I love this church. I love this church from the bottom of my heart, and that's why that I'm here this morning. And I hope and pray that you love them. And I would like to say this morning before we get into the message, you know, we have maybe a lot of young people in this church. I remember when I was a youngster, we were shipped off to church in a big school bus, and I remember going to church, and I can just imagine maybe what some of the people thought, said, "Well, here comes those hoodlums again," you know, because we was a busload of children from the children's home. But I'm thankful that the church there saw fit to love me enough that they showed me the love of God. They told me what God has done for me. And I tell you, I was saved and born again because I had somebody to love me and to nurture me and to show me the right way. So I'd like to say to the young people of this church, I love you this morning. And I want you to pay close attention to this message this morning, because God's word can change your heart and your life. You're searching for something, and I'm telling you, you'll never find it out into the world. You'll never find that peace. You'll never find that happiness. I searched for a long time, but one night I knelt down on my knees, and I tell you, I found the greatest peace that God has ever bestowed upon me. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, this church loves you as young people. This church loves you enough that they're ready to put their arms around you and to tell you about the love of God, to show you the love of God, that your life can be changed. Because there's coming a time that I won't be here, that some of the older people won't be here, but you younger people are going to have to take the place. I just often imagine, where would I be today had not the church showed a great love to me? Would I be behind this sacred desk? I don't know where I would be. But it was because of the love of someone that I was able to find the Lord in my heart, my life. And so this morning, let's look at the Word of God, and let's you pay close attention to this message this morning. I challenge you to listen to the message, not because I'm a great preacher, not because I'm a great man of God or anything like that, but simply because this is the Word of God, and it can make a change in your heart and your life. Even as older people, it can make a change in your life too if you've never been saved. But this morning, we know that we're taking the Lord's Supper here in a little while, and I don't have a Thanksgiving message, but I know that we're all very thankful for what God has done. But we want to look over in John chapter 1 and verse 29, and we want to look at the Passover lamb for just a little while, because I believe that the Passover and the Lord's Supper kind of goes hand in hand. Because if you remember, it said that Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and it says it was the time of the Passover before he was put to death. And it says that there, as they was having the Passover, that he instituted the Lord's Supper. So we see that it kind of goes hand in hand. The Passover points to the Lord's coming, for him dying upon that cross, and then we find the Lord's Supper is showing what he had already done for us, and that one day he's coming back to take his children home. So we want to look at the Passover lamb, and we kind of looked around and kind of thought this was a very fitting message for the service here this morning, going with the Lord's Supper. But let's look here in John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John saith, Jesus coming with him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so at this time, we're just going to go to God in prayer once again. Father, we're thankful for this privilege to be here. We pray that you'll just bless the reading of this word. And Lord, that you would take this message and Lord, that it would penetrate the hearts of these young people, the hearts of anyone that's here this morning listening to the word of God. Lord, I pray that today that they could leave this place being very thankful for what you've done in their heart and their life. Lord, I'm thankful for everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do. We'll just be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But as we find here, we find a Passover lamb where it says, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And I'm very thankful this morning that he took away my sins. And I just knelt down and I asked God to come into my heart, my life. And I said, yes, I'm a sinner. And he's come into my heart, my life. And I was born again. So I'm thankful for this lamb. But as we look over in Exodus chapter 11, as we begin to look, and we'll try not to hold you too long because we know that we'll be doing the Lord's Supper here in just a little while. But you pray as we look at this message here this morning as the Passover lamb. And we find it here in chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. It says, And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn unto Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. So we can find that here, according to the word of God, that first of all, that a lamb was needed. The Passover lamb, they was about to look at the Passover, the feast of the Passover, and we find that this was something that was about to be something that they would remember for the rest of their lives. But before we look at this as a lamb that needed to be needed, we find that the children of Israel, we find that they were under bondage and they were under the slavery of the Egyptians and they wanted to be set free. And they began to cry out to God. They said, there's no way that we continue on being the slaves that we are today. And they were crying out. They needed to be delivered. And so God raised up a man and he sent a man called Moses to help them, to deliver them from this. And God was going to use this one man. But he raised him up. And he said, I want you to go and to help the children of Israel. And I'm here to say this morning that the lost and dying world, they're crying out. They're lost in the world of sin. And they're tired of being slaves to the master of their devil. They're tired of doing all these wicked things. And even young people today, they're crying out. And they're saying, I want something new. I need something in my life. I need something to do. What is it that will change my life? What am I looking for? But God has raised up this church in this community right here, and he says, I'm going to use Big Spring Baptist Church to be a help to these people that are slaves to sin, and they can be set free. How can you be set free? You can be set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it set me free and it can set you free here this morning. And so he delivered this man. He sent this man to help them, and they began to cry out under this bondage. But we find that here they went, and many of them, God said, yes, I will come and I will help you. And he began to send plague after plague, and there was 10 plagues. And after the ninth one, Pharaoh began to kind of say, all right, he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to compromise with you just a little bit. I'm going to compromise, and he says, I'll let you go. Just go out just a little bit, and you don't have to go too far. You can go out, and you can worship, and then you can come back. And then he says, I'll tell you what, I'll just let all the men go, and then they can come back. And then he says, I'll compromise even more. He says, you can go, but just leave all your possessions right here. See, he tried every way in the world to compromise. And I tell you, that's what the devil's doing to people today, to you young people today. He's trying to compromise. He's saying, just hang on to your old lifestyle just a little bit longer because you can have fun out in the world. But brethren, I'm telling you today that I was a lost person. And when I was lost, I had no fun out in that world. But now that I'm saved, I tell you, I can go to work with a smile on my face. And when I have people
Sometimes they'll say, what are you smiling about? You seem to be happy all the time. I tell you, because the Lord has changed my heart, and I know that I'm going to a place called heaven, and I don't have to die and go to a place called hell anymore, because He loved me enough. And so you see, the world is out there under the bondage of sin and slavery. They're looking for something. And I tell you, God has called us to deliver that message to them, the message of hope, to be a light to these people. And so I'm thankful for this here this morning, that yes, a lamb was needed. And why was a lamb needed? So the last one of the plagues was the firstborn is going to die. The firstborn of everything, of every animal, of everyone in Egypt, they're going to die. And says, you got to do something. Says, I want you to take a lamb. And so a lamb was needed. This Passover lamb was needed to help them through this awful night that was coming, but death was coming. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody under the sound of my voice in this room, you know, you don't want to think about it, but one day we're going to die. It doesn't matter. I've seen graves of little babies. I've seen the graves of old people. I've seen the graves of teenagers and young people alike. We're all going to die if the Lord tarries His coming. But death is coming. So why is a lamb needed? Because you see, we have to make preparations in this lifetime, whether or not if we want to make a choice to go to heaven or die and go to a place called hell. So a lamb was needed. Death was coming. But let's look over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 as we continue to look, and we'll try to get through this very quickly. But over in Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 12 as we see that death was coming. We find that here that the death angel was about to pass by. But here it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And I want you to pay close attention even to this right here. Even over to them that has not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But it said that death was coming. A lamb is needed. I tell you, we need to, and the Bible said that, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, that can take your sins away and make you whole this morning and make you have a brand new life. So as we look here, I want you to notice that it said that Christ was a picture of Adam. Can you imagine, just for a few moments, how could Christ be a picture of, how could Adam be a picture of Christ, because it said that Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him to come. Well, I think that we can find the answer over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 14 as we begin to look at Adam just a little bit. And let's begin to look over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 14. It says, and Adam was not deceived. It says, but the woman who being deceived was in the transgression. A lot of times we blame Adam on the downfall of Eve, on the downfall. We say it was woman's fault. But notice right here it said that Adam was not deceived. Here was a picture of Adam being a picture of Christ here in just a second. Notwithstanding that she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, charity, holiness, and sobriety. Here we find that it said that Adam was not deceived. This was a picture of Christ right here. We find that Adam, what did he do? We find that Eve said, here, Adam, said, this is good. I've done, I ate it. It's good. But the Bible says Adam willfully and knew what he was doing. He wasn't deceived in any way. But the moment that she ate, the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. And so we find that there was a separation between these two. She was going to die. He was still alive forevermore. But what did Adam do? He was not deceived, but he stepped down. And because the only way that Eve could be saved, it said, was by bearing a child. But if there was a separation between them two, then there was no way that his wife was ever going to be saved. So it said that Adam stepped down, and he did this knowingly what he was doing. He was ready to give his life for his bride. He loved her so much that he says, I'm going to step down so that my wife Eve could be saved by bearing a child, and says, I love her. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also what? Loved the church and done what? And gave himself for that church. So you see, this was the picture of Adam being a picture of Christ, because he stooped down and he became the substitute. And that's what God done for us. Christ hung upon that old rugged cross. He took my place. And he says, Herschel, I don't want you to die and go to a place called hell. I'm going to step down. I'm going to die up on that old rugged cross. And I'm going to take your place upon that rugged cross. And so here we find that death was surely coming. And so as we find that as death was coming, there was a lamb that was needed to prepare them, to help them. And there was a plan already in effect to help those that would accept God's plan. And so I want you to notice, first of all, too, that these people could not save themselves. They had to have this lamb. There was nothing that they could do except follow the instructions of the Lord. And so we find that the Bible says that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot save myself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot do these things on your own. You have to have the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart and your life. And that's the only way that you're ever going to get born again into the family of God. So as we begin to look here, we find that the lamb was needed. Then we find that a lamb was chosen over in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4 through, as we begin to look here, 1 through 5. Let's read here. As a lamb was chosen. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month shall you take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb of the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And so we find that here that a lamb was chosen. And so we find that it says, I want you to take it on the tenth day, and I want you to put it up. And so they was looking at this lamb, and this lamb was going to be their deliverer, because they were going to take and kill this lamb in a little while. And you know the story of what they done with the blood, how they placed it upon the doorpost. And I tell you, that's why that I love the song about the blood, that there's still power in the blood. And so as we begin to look here, we find that a lamb was chosen. Let's look over in Isaiah chapter 53, and let's look in verse 4 just for a few moments here. Even from the eons of time, it was predicted that the Lamb had already been chosen, that he would come, even in the Old Testament, that he would come and die for my sins and for your sins. And he was chosen. Let's look here. Surely, in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, as we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. As he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep before their shears is dumb, and he openeth not his mouth. So we find that here, that it was already prophesied that he was going to come. A lamb had already been chosen. And I tell you, you know, if I had died on that cross, I could have said, yes, I'll die for my wife. I'll die for my children. And they could have nailed me to that old cross. But that still wouldn't have, it might would have spared their life for just a little while. But they still, if Christ had not come and died on the old rugged cross, to be in that supreme sacrifice, they still would have died and went into eternity in hell. So we find a lamb had been chosen. And I'm thankful that he was chosen to live for me. And so as I find here that the Bible says that he was chosen. Look over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, another place where that it begins to speak about Christ coming and dying for us. One of the first promises was there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 about the head being crushed of Satan and the heel being bruised of Christ. And so we find that that was the first point that it was mentioned in the scriptures about our Savior being chosen to come and to die for your sins and for my sins. But I want you to notice something even more particular as we read there in Exodus chapter 12. We find that it says, I want you to take a lamb. And I want you to look at this lamb. It's to be without spot and to be without blemish. The Bible says that we're not redeemed with the corruptible things of this world, silver and gold, but we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. And so we find that here that this Passover lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work that he has done for you and for me here this morning. But we look, it says, I want you to take a lamb. I want you, you know, today, you know, a lot of us as young people, older people, yes, I've heard of a Savior. I heard of a Lord somewhere. But then it says, I want you to take the lamb. And a lot of times, once again, we know that he might be the Lord of somebody else's life. He might be the Lord of these people that goes to this other church. But it gets even more personal. It says, a lamb, the lamb. And then it says, I want you to take what? Your lamb. And so we find that it gets personal and up close right there and then. So I ask you this morning, have you already chosen Lord to be Lord of your life? And can you really say here this morning that he's my Lord? I know that he might be my mother's Lord. He might be somebody else's Lord. But can you say he's your Lord here this morning? And so as we look here, it gets very personal as this lamb was about to be chosen. And then as we find that not only was it chosen, but we find that then the lamb was to be slain. He was to lose his life. These people needed something to help them because death was coming, the firstborn. So as we look here in verse 8 of Exodus, well, let's look in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 here of Exodus. It says here, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill in the evening, and they shall take it, take of the blood, and strike it upon the two posts at the upper doorposts and the houses wherein they shall eat it. But as we begin to look here, I want you to notice what it says here. It says that you're to take and you're to slew this lamb. And so as we begin to look here, the lamb was slew. But over in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You see, the lamb died. Christ hung upon that old rugged cross. He lost his life there, but on the third and appointed day, he rose again from the grave, and he's alive forevermore. How do you know that? Because he lives within my heart. He lives within your heart, and he was slain there. But we find that on the 14th day, this lamb was to be slew. And so as we find here, let's look over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. As we find here in the scriptures, we know that it took the death of this lamb because they had to have his blood and they had to take the blood and apply it. But as we begin to look over in Hebrews and you continue to pray as we look here, we find in verse 22 it says, and in almost all things by the law are purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So as we find that here that the lamb had been slain, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so we find that once again, we find that Isaac and Abraham was going up to, it took a 3-day journey. We find that Abraham said, Isaac says, we're going to go and offer a sacrifice. And so as we find that they walked for the 3 days journey, when they got there, we find that Isaac says, we've got the wood, Dad. Said, we've got the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb that we're going to offer up for a sacrifice? And then he said, God will provide. But he strapped his son down and he was beginning to get ready to offer up his son, had a knife drawn back to take his only son's life. But then we find that God spoke, and he says, hold on just a moment. Says, you don't have to do that. Says, let him go. Said, there's a sacrifice called in the thicket right over there. And so Isaac was released. I was a picture of Isaac. You was a picture of Isaac. Laying there about the devil was about to take her life. The devil was about to cause us to go to a place such called hell. But we can find that God said, no. Said, release Herschel. Let him go. He's no longer yours. He's not your child anymore, devil. You let him go. And the supreme sacrifice, that Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, he says, I'm going to take Herschel's place. I was unfit. I was probably one of the meanest little boys that ever lived in the face of this earth. And I tell you, there's a lot of things that maybe I'd thought a lot of bad things in my life and things like that. But God said, I erased all of that out of his life because he knelt down and he accepted me as his personal Savior and said, I'm willing to go to that cross and I'm willing to die for him. So you see, it took a slain lamb. The lamb was about to die. And so on the 14th day, we find that they killed that lamb and he was ready. The blood was about to be applied to the doorpost because it says, you apply this blood to the doorpost and says, and then when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so we find that here, that had the children of Israel refused to take this lamb and have that personal encounter with this lamb, they too would have lost their life and they would have died that night, but simply because they obeyed God and done what he had said. And so as we find that here, that the lamb was to be eaten, what was they to do with the meat of this lamb? It was to be eaten. As we see what they done with the blood, they applied it to the doorpost. But then let's look here in verse 8 in Exodus chapter 12. It says, and they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat. And then it says, eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, and the head with the legs, and with the pertinence thereof. But notice it says, I want you to take and you're to feast off this lamb. And I want you to notice that it says, I want you to take unleavened bread. During the time of the Passover, they would get rid of all the leaven out of their house. And for 7 days, they were not allowed to eat this leaven. And it says, I want you to do this with unleavened. And what would leaven be a sign of? A lot of times, we take yeast and put it in our bread. And a lot of times, what happens to this bread? It'll begin to puff up, and it begins to rise, and it begins to get big. So you see, leaven is a picture of sin. And that's why he says, I want you to get use this unleavened bread. Get sin out, because a lot of times if we have leaven in our life, it will begin to puff up. And when I've got sin in my life, it might start as something small, but then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we find that here that says, I want you to do this with this unleavened bread. I want you to become pure. I want you to have sin out of your heart and your life. But I want you to eat of this lamb. And you know, we need to eat of the lamb today. But today, why did they have to eat this lamb? Because they was getting ready to start a journey and they needed their strength. They needed strength for that journey. And when I knelt down and I got saved, I began to feast off the Word of God. And I began to be fed off this right here. And I began to grow. But let's look over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And let's just look and see what the Bible says that we need to do. Here over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And so the Bible says that as newborn babes, when you become a Christian, that you need to desire the Word of God. That you may what? That you may grow. When I don't eat, I don't grow. And I tell you, a lot of people can say, well, Herschel, you've ate a lot. I guess I have. I remember when I was just young and when I first got married, my nickname was Bones. That's what they called me. Do I look like bones today? No. But my wife, I guess she's fed me good, and now they don't never call me bones anymore. And a lot of people want to know why they used to call me bones, because they see the way I am now. But I tell you, I love to get into God's Word. I love to study God's Word. And I hope and pray that you'll feast off of God's Word. But it also says something else. It says that you go ahead and eat. And when you get ready to leave, says, I don't want no leftovers. And, you know, my wife gets on to me all the time, because after about one or two meals of leftovers, I quit eating them. And she says, you need to eat more leftovers. But, you know, I can tell her now that I've got the Word of God to go by, because it says, when you eat this, throw the leftovers away. And that's what he said. It says, burn it and throw it away. So, you know, now I don't have to get in trouble with my wife anymore. But nevertheless, what the problem is that we as Christians, we get fed here this morning, and then we might want to wait for two or three more weeks and try to live off of that message that we heard maybe a year ago. And that's the way a lot of churches do today. They say, man, back years ago, we had great revivals. Back years ago, we were on fire and we done this. And that's what you try to live off of. Don't live off of leftovers. Let's live from day to day. And let's serve God, and let's feast off of today. And then tomorrow comes, let's get another feast. Let's get into the Word of God, and let's begin to grow. If you want to study God, there's a lot of things that's in the Word of God that's exciting. I remember when I heard a preacher preach on something, I said, I don't believe that. I think that preacher's lying. And I went home and I started studying the scriptures for myself. And man, I just got so thrilled, and I found out that I was wrong. So, you know, you can get into the Word of God, and we find it here that it says, I want you to eat this lamb. But then we find that the lamb was to be trusted. And then we'll be closing in just a moment. Exodus chapter 12. And let's look into verse 22. And then we, as we said, this is the Passover lamb. But let's look here in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 12. And it says, and here, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood that the basin, and strike the lintel into the two side posts with blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out to the door of his house until the morning. But then let's read verse 26 through 28. And it shall come to pass that when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, is it a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passeth over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshiped. And the children of Israel, notice what they said, what they did right here. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord has commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. So they did what they were commanded to do. They put their trust in God. They took and they applied that blood. And so when the death angel passed by, what happened to them? They were able to rejoice, because death did not find them. But that morning, there was a lot of weeping and a lot of crying going on. Why? Because there was death in a lot of families. There was death everywhere. Death had found them. But you see, death can find you in the right place today. I don't have to be afraid of death anymore, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died right now, that I'm going to a place called heaven. But I ask you this morning, even the young people, do you know that if you died right now, would you go to a place called heaven? Would you go to that place and not have to worry about dying and going to a place called hell? A choice has to be made this morning. People will come and pray for you. People will kneel with you, put an arm around you, because I'm living proof of what churches can do with young people. Because I wouldn't be here this morning
had not people loved me and showed me the love of God? But I tell you this morning, it's very important. We've got to make a decision. And in just a moment, we're going to give you an altar call. But before we do the altar call, I've got some other scripture that I want to read. We're fixing to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. And it's a very important thing for us as Christians. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and as we look here in verse 27, and then we'll be given an altar call in just a moment. And it's very important that we listen to these words here. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I think that as Christians here this morning, that we too need to examine our hearts and our lives and not partake of the Lord's Supper unworthy. If you've got sin in your heart and your life, the Bible says that you will be found guilty. But what a time that we can repent of our sins as we give the altar call. You don't have to come forward to the altar, but you can kneel here and just bow your head right there when we're praying and say, Father, just forgive me. I've not been the Christian that I should be. But if you're here and you're lost this morning, I pray that you can come and find Christ as your personal Savior. He loves you. I love you this morning. The church loves you. So whoever it may be, whatever problem may be in your heart and your life, we're all one family. And we, if you're here as a Christian, you got struggles in your life, and you just need someone to put an arm around you and say, I love you. I'm willing to tell you that I truly love you this morning. And there's men here that loves you, and they will come and pray with you. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and go to God in prayer. Father, as we come to you as humbly as we know how, I believe that there's people here this morning that needs to make a choice in their life. Lord, they're struggling. They're having problems. They have great needs that needs to be met. But the Bible says that you're the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that you can do all things. Lord, I know today that I truly love you. And I just pray that this morning that the devil will not help them to compromise any longer. But Father, that they know that the devil is a liar and he's a cheater and he'll destroy their lives. I've seen so many homes destroyed, so many lives destroyed by many things. But Father, I know that you put my home and my family back together. You gave me the greatest family that a man could ever ask for. And I'm thankful for everything that you've done here this morning. Lord, just have your sweet way here this morning. We'll be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. Just now we pray. Amen.